Receiving for the sake of giving. A correct or effective addressing of the Creator is composed of two stages. First, one must understand that the Creator is absolutely kind to all beings without exception, and all his actions are benevolent, irrespective of how unpleasant they may appear. Therefore, the Creator sends this person only what is best for him and fills him with all that is most necessary. Thus, this person has nothing to ask of the Creator. One should be content with what one receives from the Creator, regardless of the terrible state one may be in. One must also be thankful to the Creator and must glorify Him. There's nothing that can be added to one's personal state because one should be happy with one's lot. An individual must always first thank the Creator for all that he's received in the past. Then he can ask for the future. But if he feels a lack of something in his life, then he's removed from the Creator to the same degree as his perception of deficiency. This occurs because the Creator is absolutely perfect, whereas an individual perceives himself to be unhappy. Thus, when he begins to feel that what he has is the best that he could have, since this is precisely the state that the Creator has sent to him, then he comes closer to the Creator and can ask something for the future. The state of being happy with one's lot may arise in a person simply from the realization that the circumstances of his life are not a consequence of his own actions, but are sent by the Creator. This state may also arise because he realizes that he's reading a book that deals with the Creator, with immortality, with the supreme goal in life, with the benevolent purpose of creation, and with the method of asking the Creator to alter his life, as well as realizing that millions of other people in this world do not receive the opportunity to experience all these things. Thus, those who want to perceive the Creator but haven't yet been rewarded this objective should be content with their condition because it comes from the Creator. Since these people still have unfulfilled desires, even though they're content with what the Creator has decided to give them and are as a result of being content close to Him, they become worthy of receiving the light of the Creator, which will bring them full knowledge, understanding, and pleasure. A person, in order to separate himself spiritually from egoism, must come to realize his own insignificance, the lowness of his interests, aspirations, and pleasures. He must also be aware to what extent he's willing to do everything just for this personal success, as well as in all his thoughts, how he pursues only personal gain. That which is important at the time when a person feels his lowness is that he should recognize the truth, that personal gratification is more important to him than the Creator is, and that he doesn't see any personal benefit from his actions, and he can't carry these actions out, either in thoughts or in deeds. The Creator receives pleasure by giving pleasure to a person. If that person delights in the fact that it gives the Creator a possibility to delight him, then both the Creator and the person coincide in qualities and in desires, because each is happy with the process of giving. The Creator gives pleasure, whereas the person creates the conditions to receive it. Each thinks of the other, but not of himself, and this is what defines their actions. But since a human being is born an egoist, he's incapable of thinking about others, but only about himself. He can give only in the situation where he sees immediate benefit from it, greater than the one being given away, as in the process of trading or bargaining. With respect to this quality, a human being is utterly distant from the Creator and doesn't perceive Him. This ultimate separation of a human being from the Creator, the source of all pleasures, is caused by our egoism and is the source of all our suffering. A realization of this is known as the realization of evil. Because in order for a person to be repelled from egoism by a hatred towards it, he must fully feel and recognize that it is all of his evil, the single most deadly enemy which stands in the way of his attaining perfection, pleasure, and immortality. Thus, in all one's actions, be it the study of the Kabbalah or the observance of commandments, an individual must set as his goal the departure from egoism and the advance towards the Creator by virtue of coinciding in qualities. Only then will he be able to perceive the same pleasure from altruistic acts as he receives from his egoism. If with the help from above, an individual begins to receive pleasure from altruistic deeds, and in this is his happiness and his greatest reward, such a state is known as giving for the sake of giving, without any expected reward. the gratification of the person comes only from having the ability to do something for the Creator. Once an individual attains that spiritual level and wishes to give something to the Creator, it becomes apparent to him that the Creator desires only one thing, to give pleasure to the individual. Then the individual is ready to receive pleasure, because such is the will of the Creator. Actions of this nature are known as receiving for the sake of giving. In the spiritual states, the intellect, reason, wisdom of a person correspond to the light of wisdom. The heart, the desires and the feelings of a person correspond to the light of mercy. Only when a person's heart is ready to listen can reason affect him. Or Chachma can illuminate only in the place where Or Chasadim is already present. If Or Chasadim is not present, then Or Chachma does not illuminate. Such a state is known as darkness or night. But in our world, that is, in an individual who still remains in the enslavement of egoism, reason can never hold domain over the heart, because the heart is the source of all desires. It alone is the sole master of the individual, whereas reason has no power to counter the desires of the heart. For example, if a person wants to steal, he asks advice from reason to determine how to carry out his plan. Thus, reason becomes the executioner of the person's desire. On the other hand, if a person decides to do a good deed, once again, reason helps, just like all other parts of the body. Hence, there's no other solution but to cleanse the heart of all egoistic desires. The Creator intentionally shows a person that his desire is to have that person receive pleasure in order to give him the possibility to become freed from the shame of receiving. A person forms a strong impression that by receiving pleasures for the sake of the Creator, one truly pleases him, that is, gratifies the Creator rather than receives pleasure from him. There are three types of work done by a person in the Kabbalah and the commandments. In each type, there are good aspirations and evil ones. 1. One studies for his own sake, for instance, in order to become famous, so that the people surrounding him, rather than the Creator, pay him honors and money for his efforts. For this reason, he engages in the study of Kabbalah in front of everyone, otherwise he would not receive a reward. 2. One studies for the sake of the Creator, in order that the Creator will reward him in this world and in the world to come. In such a case, in order that people should not see his work, he does not learn Kabbalah in public, so that they should not give him a reward for his efforts, since he wants to receive all his reward only from the Creator. If the people begin to reward him, it may distract him from his intentions, and instead of receiving reward from the Creator, he might begin to receive reward from the people. Such intentions of a person in his work, in his spiritual work, are known as for the sake of the Creator, because he works for the Creator and he observes commandments of the Creator to receive the reward only from him. This is like the first case in which a person was working for the people, fulfilled people's expectations in his work, then demanded a reward for the performed tasks. In both cases, the common denominator is that he expects and wants a reward for his work. In the first case, he worked for people and expected reward for the work he did, and in the second, he worked for the Creator and expected a reward from him. 3. After the first two stages, a person enters a state of realizing his egoistic enslavement. The body, the desire to receive, then begins to inquire, what type of work is this? Where's the reward for it? But one doesn't receive an answer to this question. In the first stage, egoism does not pose any questions because it sees the reward for the work, because it sees the reward for the work that is done from others around. In the second stage, the individual can respond to egoism by stating that one desires a bigger reward than can be received from other people, that is, he desires eternal spiritual pleasures, both in this world and in the other world. But in the third stage, when the Creator wants to bestow upon him, he begins to realize his own state of enslavement, the hold of egoism over him, and he has nothing to reply to his body. And the fact that the Creator wants only to give makes him want to have the possibility to give as well, and that this will be the reward for his actions. A reward refers to that benefit which a person desires to receive for his work. In general, we refer to it as pleasure, whereas by work we mean any intellectual, physical, or moral exertion of the body. A reward may also come in the form of money, honors, and fame, etc. When a person feels that he lacks any strength to withstand the body, that there's no energy to perform even the slightest tasks, because the body cannot make any effort without seeing some reward in return, then there's no other alternative but to turn to the Creator for help and to pray for some supernatural power that would allow one to work against one's nature and reason. Thus, the most important problem is to believe in the fact that the Creator is able to help despite the natural laws to the contrary, and that He's waiting for such requests. However, this decision can be reached only after one's completely disillusioned with his own abilities. The Creator desires that each person himself should choose the right and should distance himself from the wrong. Otherwise, the Creator would have made a human being with his own qualities, or once having granted egoism, he himself would transform it into altruism without the process of bitter exile from the state of the upper perfection.